I was going to preach on the whole four or five verses that Brother Chuck read a moment ago from the book of James. But I got to verse 6 along about Tuesday night and Wednesday in the afternoon. And I'm not going to get past the first four words, chapter 4, verse 6 this morning. He giveth more grace. Give us more grace. That's what I want to preach on this morning. You know, we need grace every day. Brother Chuck, in his prayer, I heard him talk about the burden that he has. There's a huge grace. There's a difference. He's a little grandbaby. You know, on the box of cereal or box of different kind of food, they put the minimum daily requirement. Minimum. Items. You know, for a Christian, we ought to have somewhere to remind us every day that we need a minimum daily dose of God's grace. Danny Johnson Flint wrote these words: He giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength when the labors increase. The added affliction, He addeth His mercy. A multiplied trial is multiplied peace. His love has no limit. His grace has no measure. His power no boundary known unto men. For out of His infinite riches in Jesus, He giveth. It's not part of my message, but I was thinking about it. Just saying, you know, you can never exhaust the supply of God's grace. You can never exhaust. I mean, just when we get to the end of our rope sometimes in our life, we just don't know how we can go on because of the burdens that we have in our life and the trials that we have in our life. I'm glad this morning that we got a God who never runs out of rope. We may get to the end of ours, but we have a God that has an infinite supply of grace and can give us every day what we need to make it. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17, the Bible says this: Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. That verse reminds us, let's not trust in anything that we have, any possession that we have, any material thing that we have. Don't get high-minded about that, the Bible says. But let's trust in the living God who giveth to us richly all the things that we can enjoy. And one of the things that we ought to enjoy every single day, one of the things that we ought to take advantage of every single day, is the infinite, marvelous, amazing, stupendous grace of our living God. Someone said, grace is God's goodwill or free, unmerited favor. Another person said, it is the undeserved goodness of God shown to fallen man. Still another said, it is the free and eternal favor of God, the spring of all spiritual blessings bestowed by God. Grace is love unbought, mercy undeserved, favor unmerited. It is that wonderful thing by which a sinner may be saved unto eternal glory, and without which the best and most righteous man shall not be saved. He giveth more grace. He giveth more grace. You know, there's many types of grace talked about in the Bible. I want to just talk about four this morning. I want to mention four kinds of grace that God gives us. And I just want to say a couple things about each one of those. The first kind of grace I want to mention this morning is saving grace. The kind of grace that's mentioned in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, where the Bible says, For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I want to just testify a little bit this morning. I was a sinner headed for hell. We sang that song, Love Lifted Me. I was that person sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. By the way, I'm not unique in this. Every single person, and you may still be there this morning, but every single person like me was a sinner, is a sinner. Every single person has fallen short of the glory of God. Don't compare yourself to me and think that you may be, and when you do that, you may be okay. But you compare yourself to the lovely, perfect Son of God. And you compare yourself to Him, and that verse that says, we've all come short of the glory of God, that's exactly what it means. Jesus was the glory of God. We compare ourselves to one another, we may think we're okay. But let's compare ourselves to the glory of God. We fall short. And the wage of my sin was death. I had no hope. There was nothing I could do except die in my sin and go to hell and pay my sin debt. But God proved His love toward me in that while I was a sinner, God sent His Son Jesus to die in my place on Calvary so that I could be made right with Him, so that I could have a home in heaven, so that I could get my sins wiped away and the righteousness of Jesus Christ put on my record. Now why? Why did God do that for me? It wasn't because of my goodness, because the Bible says all my goodness in God's sight is as filthy rags. It wasn't because of my intelligence, because the Bible says that His ways are higher than my ways, and His thoughts are higher than my thoughts. It wasn't because of my wealth. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, the wealth in every mine. He doesn't need what little bit that I have. And it wasn't because that I could do something that God could not do. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. He can do anything that He wants. Why then did God love me? Why then did God send His Son to die for me? Why then, when I was a sinner who didn't deserve it, did Jesus come and die on the cross for me? One word. G-R-A-C-E. Grace. Grace. The wonderful grace of Jesus. Greater than all my sin. How can my soul describe it? Where shall its praise begin? I was a dirty sinner. I deserved hell. But a loving God saw me, took pity upon me, and gave me something that I don't deserve, gave me something that I can never repay Him for. And I stand before Him today. I stand before the eternal, almighty, omnipotent God just as if I never sinned. I stand before God today with all my sins wiped away. I stand before God today, not headed for hell, but headed for a wonderful home in heaven. And I stand before God today, part of His family. One of His children, whose elder brother is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Why? Not because I turned over a new leaf. Not because I got in the baptism tank. Not because I joined the church. Why? Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I tell you what, every single person that's been saved this morning ought to thank God for saving grace. You were a sinner headed toward hell. You had no hope. But amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me and you. We once were lost, but now we're found. Was blind, but now I see. I don't care who you are this morning. I don't care how far you've gone into sin. I don't care what kind of sinner you are. It doesn't matter. I know what kind of Savior we have. And I know that He has a pile of grace big enough to cover every sin in your life. A pile of grace that will wipe them all away. A pile of grace that will make you right before God this morning. And if you'll come and get it, if you'll come and take it, you too can become part of His family and one of His children. I thank God this morning for saving grace. I praise God this morning for saving grace. But also praise God for the second kind of grace I want to mention this morning, sanctifying grace. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, the Bible says this, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Now let me just tell you what that means. What that verse says is God's going to give you everything that you need so that you can abound in every good work. Our God, in the riches of His grace, is going to give you everything that you need. Now again, let me stop and say, He's not going to give you everything you want. He loves you. He knows it would be bad for you to get everything that you want, so he says no sometimes. But our God gives us everything that we need. Why? So that we can abound to every good work. In Titus chapter 2, the Bible says this, "The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." Everybody is available. The grace, the saving grace of God is available to all men. Don't you believe these people that say the saving grace of God is he picks and chooses who he gives it to. The saving grace of God is available to all men. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All men. "The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." God expects his children to act like his children. Amen? God expects us there to be a difference between his children and the world's children. God expects there to be a difference in the desires of his children and the world's children. God expects his children to get along better than the world's children do. Now look, he doesn't expect that to happen all at once. And he doesn't expect you to do that or us to do that all on our own. Any more than we would expect a little baby to grow up to be an adult just like that on their own. But when you have a little baby and you feed that little baby and you train that little baby and you give that baby everything that he or she needs every day of their life, you do expect that baby to grow. And God has the same expectation of his children. Through his grace, he gives us what we need every day of our life. I'll just stop and let that sink in for a minute. I don't care how old you are, where you go, what you do, every day of your life. It could be, I mean, stop and think about it. Every day of your life, there is a God in heaven that will give you everything that you need. Amen. He knows what you're going to need before you need it. If he knew what Joshua and Abel needed before they needed it, he knows all. And every day of our life, he gives us what we need. Now, he expects us to grow. And he expects us to live, just like that verse says, soberly, righteously, godly, abounding unto good works. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear. You know, it was God's grace that taught me that I ought to have a holy, reverent awe of my God. It was grace that taught me that I ought to fear God. Just like a little child fears his dad. He knows if he disobeys, he or she disobeys, they're going to get it. Praise God if you had a dad like that. Praise God if you have a dad like that. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. When you got a dose of saving grace, right behind it came a dose of sanctifying grace. When you got saved, God gave you the grace to get saved and become one of his children. And then right behind it, God gave you a dose of grace so that you could start acting like one of his children. So you could start growing like one of his children. So that you could start doing what God wants us to do in this world while we're his children. And I'm glad we don't got to do it in our own. I'm glad we don't got to do it with our own wisdom. I'm glad we have available to us the sanctifying grace of God to help us get rid of all our bad habits and get rid of all our bad attitudes and to get rid of everything in our life that shouldn't be there. Look, don't tell me that you don't have the strength to get rid of a bad habit. You're right. You don't. But you serve a God who's got enough grace to help you get rid of it. Claim it, take it, use it, and get rid of it. Sanctifying grace. I praise God for sanctifying grace. Number three, I praise God for sustaining grace. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, we won't take the time to read the verses I have written down, but Paul was talking about his thorn in the flesh. the thing that God gave him. And he said, I begged God 3 times to take that thorn away from me. And I pleaded with God, and I said, God, I could be a better preacher. I could be a better teacher. I could be a better Christian if you could just take this thing out of my life. And God came back to Paul and said, no, I'm not going to take it away. My grace. He said, I'm going to leave that thorn in your life. I don't know what it was, but I'm going to leave that thorn in your life so that you will have a reminder every day of your life that my grace is sufficient to help you get through life. Every day. Years later, Paul wrote in 2 Timothy, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept faith. And Paul would hasten to add, not by my power, not by my might, not by my patience, not by my endurance, but by the daily dose of sustaining grace that I got from a God who loved me enough to give me a thorn in the flesh so that I would have to depend on Him every single day of my life. People ask me sometimes, they say, you ever want to quit? You ever want to quit preaching? I want to quit preaching every Sunday night on the way home from church. Every Sunday night on the way home from church, I write my resume in my mind. You ever get discouraged? I'm sure I'm discouraged. I might get discouraged. You ever get disillusioned? Wonder if you're really making a difference? Yeah. Everybody does. And I'm glad that I've got a God who has a bucket without any measure of sustained grace that I can go to Him when I want to quit, when I want to throw in the towel, when I want to give up, and hear Him say the same thing that He did to Paul. My grace. What kind of burden do you have this morning? You ever stop and think that maybe God put that burden in your life so that He could show you every day of your life that He's got? He's got what He needs for you every single day of your life. Maybe you've asked God to take it away. Maybe, and God said the same thing to you. He said to Paul, Paul, I'm not gonna give you your health back. I'm not gonna give you this thing that you've been praying about for years. My grace. My grace, sustaining grace, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already passed. His grace has brought me safe thus far. Praise God, grace will get me home. And then number four, quickly, serving grace. Serving grace. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 28 and 29. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is fire. You know, it's only reasonable that we serve God. I mean, if you were going to sit down and you were going to logic with somebody why they should serve God, you could use reason and point out to them everything that God has done for them and make a point that it's only reasonable that they serve God. It's only reasonable that I serve God after everything He's done for me. It's only reasonable that you serve God after everything He's done for you. And if you don't think that's true, then let me talk to you for a few minutes after the service and let me remind you. I probably know most of you in this room enough that I could remind you not only about salvation, but how God has worked in your life and given you things that you did not deserve, but it was by the grace of God that He gave you those things. And it's only reasonable that we serve Him. He has a purpose for each one of us. He has a place of service that He wants each one of us to fill. Let me ask you, do we deserve that? No. Stop and think about it. I don't deserve to serve God. I don't deserve it. I don't deserve to be on his team. I don't deserve to be in his army. I don't deserve to represent the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hey, I'm a sinner. I'm a saved sinner, but I'm still a sinner. God could probably find a lot of people with more talent and more ability. So, give me grace. Unmerited favor. He gives me something I don't deserve. He gives me the opportunity to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now listen to me. If we would get to the point and realize what a wonderful privilege we have to serve God. I mean, if we get to the point where we realize that we're just a sinner and we don't deserve anything, but God has given us the opportunity to serve Him with our limited abilities and with our limited talents, He puts us on His team. He lets us represent Him. He gives us opportunities to serve in His army, on His team, to represent the captain of our salvation. None of us deserve that. We're just sinners. We represent the King of Kings, the God of Gods. What a wonderful privilege it is to serve Him. Serving grace. When we've been there 10,000 years, you know, when I used to, I was thinking about this, the last verse of Amazing Grace. When we've been there 10,000 years, I said, boy, that means when we've been in heaven 10,000 years. I think, no, maybe it doesn't mean when we've been in heaven 10,000 years. Maybe it's when we've been saved and serving Him for 10,000 years, you don't have to wait till you get to heaven to start serving God. You can start serving God the minute you get saved. And we ought to start serving God the minute we've been saved. When we've been serving God for 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing His praise. When we first began. Serve grace. Let me ask you this morning, are you getting your daily dose of grace? We take care to get our daily dose of vitamin C, vitamin E, vitamin D, and all those other minerals and vitamins that somebody says that we need. Let me ask you this morning, are you getting your daily dose of grace? You only need one dose of salvation grace, saving grace. Just one dose. You don't have to take that every day, just one time. You can take it this morning. I got a bunch of it right up here I'll give you. There's a bunch of it right where you're set. All you got to do is tell Jesus, I'm depending on You, what You did on Calvary to make me right with my God. I receive it. I want it. I claim it for my own. Thank You. You're my Savior. He'll give you a dose of saving grace. He's got enough to go around. Not a person in this room that He'll refuse if you'll come to Him. Saving grace. Only needed one time. You know what? I need a daily dose of sanctifying grace. I need grace every day to make my life a life that I need a daily dose of sustaining grace. I need a daily dose of God's grace to keep me going. He gives me grace every day by the hand of God. So let me ask you again, are you getting a daily dose of grace? I need it. Not one of us can get by without it. And why should we try? We have a God who supplies with unlimited. And He will give us every day of our life. Give us more grace. I think somebody was down the street passing out a $100 bill every day for you to just come and take it. I'd be in line. Wouldn't you? Hey, some guy down the street say, hey, every day you come to this place, I'm going to give you a $100 bill. I'd do that. I got a God in heaven that says, every day I'll give you grace. I'll never run out. Every day I'll give you what you need. Take it. It is a shame that all of us at one time or another, we try to get by without God's grace. Dumb. got a God that wants to give us what we need to get through tomorrow. We try to live without. Let's just say, God, I'm going to be first in line every morning for my dose of grace. I know I need it. I know I can't make it through the day without it. I'm going to get up early in the morning. I'm going to look toward heaven. I need the grace to go to God. We have to live today. I can't make it through the day without it. Amen. I want it. I guarantee you, heaven will never go empty. Never run too well. We'll never run dry. Got enough for every one of his children to stay back to us. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for it. Thank you for your grace. It is amazing and it's wonderful. I pray this morning for that one that might be here that's never experienced saving grace. Still a sinner standing in their sin. And I pray this morning, dear God, that you would show them that there's no way to heaven. There's no way to get right with you. Come. I pray this morning they would make that decision. I pray right now that they would make that decision. And then, Father, I pray for the many Christians that are here. Most people are here this morning. They name the name of Christ. They've already made that decision to receive. Help us to understand that we don't have to live life by our own. We don't have to live life by ourselves in our own strength, but that you will give us every day what we need to be the kind of Christian that we want to be. So I pray we'll take advantage of that. I pray we'll be first in line. I pray that we'll go to the throne of grace every morning of our lives to get what we need to live in. I pray for folks that are here this morning that have burdens. You know what? They have problems. You give them grace to bear them. I pray you'll bless the invitation. Help those that need to receive Christ to come. Help those that need to get baptized to come. Help those that need to join the church to come. And Father, if there's those that need to come and spend a few moments at the altar, I pray you'll help them do that. We'll give Jesus all the glory. His name we pray. Amen.